provide prompt quality service to Manhattan and the surrounding area.
Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. And here live in studio is U.S. Congressman Roger Marshall of Kansas's Big First. And Congressman, I know you want to get to all the Avengers Infinity War spoilers. I know you want to get to all that, but I don't know if we'll have to wait on that. We'll put that on back burner for now.
All right. I can hardly wait to see the movie myself. Did it break all the records this weekend?
It did.
My kids are huge fans. I remember a couple years ago when somebody bought all the comic rights, and I said, oh my gosh, I need to go invest in, whichever company's making these, but I didn't.
Marvel.
Yeah, so Marvel sold their rights to some
to
movie
Disney.
Company, to Disney.
Right.
And I said, oh my gosh, these will be great movies, and they sure have been.
You're preaching to the choir, yeah. Congressman, on that one. Another big issue that's going on right now, and a big week, big day for the state and Manhattan, is the Farm Bill is always a big thing when it comes up. And I guess just update us a little bit on this 2018 Farm Bill.
Well, Brady, thanks. And certainly that's front and center this week. The Farm Bill occurs every 5 years, and that's why it was important Kansas had a voice on that Ag Committee as this comes out. What the Farm Bill does and why it's important is it gives agriculture producers 5 years of certainty. More than ever, agriculture is a business. It's a very technical business. And if you think about the economy, my district, 60% of the economy in my district is ag-related. And you know, if you think of Kansas State University, though we've certainly have diversified, agriculture is still the bread and butter of Kansas State University, being a land-grant university. So much in this Farm Bill, from crop insurance to Title I funding to, of course, nutrition issues as well, marketing programs. So this is the heart of what the U.S. government and agriculture is going to do. This country's been so blessed. We only spend about 6 to 8% of our money on groceries. And one of the big reasons is the Farm Bill policy that's been written over the past several decades has provided certainty and helped, you know, crop insurance is a great thing. We were talking about the wheat tour and the drought. There's just so many variables in farming that your farmer cannot control. You can be the best farmer in the world, and Mother Nature can come bite you. What crop insurance does is it allows that farmer to plant that next crop. So it's very important to this state and to this country. Kansas had such a great heritage on these farm bills from Pat Roberts and Jerry Moran and Bob Dole. And of course, Dr. Flinchbaugh, going back to him, he had been part of several farm bills himself. I think going back, I don't want to date him too old, but I believe with President Clinton was the first farm bill that the Dr. Flinchbaugh worked on. So it's great to have one of his disciples, Dalton Henry, on board with us, a person that's met with that ag committee almost every day for the past year and a half, giving us a strong farm bill.
And a former president of the Kansas FFA Association.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so proud of Dalton from Randolph, Kansas, just up the road here a little bit. And just so proud that Kansas State, once again, has a strong voice on a day-to-day basis on the Farm Bill.
Brady Bowman here with Congressman Roger Marshall. After this, for the last half hour, after this break we'll have in probably about 5 minutes or so until we have that second break, but by then, I'd really like you to call in and have any questions you have for the Congressman. That number will be 785-537-1350. We'll remind you that out of the next break. And speaking of the Farm Bill, I know SNAP is always a big part of the discussion with the Farm Bill and probably a point of possible contention when it does get, it is out of committee now, and when it goes to the floor to be debated. As far as the issue with SNAP, I know that it kind of varies amongst Congress, amongst even the Republican Party, as far as what to do with SNAP, as far as making it more accessible, less accessible, more funding, less funding. Where are we at on that with SNAP?
Right, Brady. Bill? Sure, and certainly that is the only. I think that's the only major point of controversy right now is the SNAP. I was so proud to be on the subcommittee that helped write this portion of it. It's about 80% of the Farm Bill is the dollars are going towards SNAP and nutrition supplements. In case you don't know what SNAP is, we used to call it food stamps. The big controversy is around work training opportunities. Basically, what we have suggested, what we have put into writing, is that if you're on food stamps or on food assistance, that if you're between the ages of 18 and 59, you're work capable, you don't have a dependent under the age of 6, that you should either work or get training for work for 20 hours a week. Now, 20 hours in a week, that's like working on the farm on Saturday. You put in 20 hours. It's new. We have new money for the work training opportunities. If you can't find a job, if you can't find work training, we're going to supply you, set up work training for you. So the whole idea is we should be teaching people how to fish as well as giving them fish. We did a Teletown Hall just last week and had a survey, and we asked the people, and this should have been a bipartisan Teletown Hall, 83% of the people surveyed said that they support this concept. It's been well polled across the country that over 80% of Americans think a work training opportunity for people getting government assistance is a great idea.
And as far as the work training on that and providing that work training, I'm sure that'll be funded as well.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's the key here is that this is new dollars. So we've totally funded. We made this entire farm bill budget neutral. We made the previous food stamps budget neutral as well. And we've added, the one thing we've added is this work training. Now, here's what's ironic to me. Basically, we're just asking states to enforce the current work requirements. And Kansas has been implemented this 3 or 4 years ago, pretty stringent work requirements, but a state like California has found loopholes to get people out of it. So we're trying to close those loopholes and provide new monies for states to give education, work training opportunities for people as well. And in Kansas, though, it's been very successful. The people that we put on these work training requirements, over a year's time, their average salary has doubled. The unemployment rate's been cut in half. And the amount of time on food stamps has been cut in half. So it's been very successful in some of these pilot programs, and I think it's ready to go nationwide.
Now, as far as some of the work requirements or work training, would there be some exemptions for folks like disabilities, those sort of things?
Absolutely. So if you have a disability, you're exempt from it. And additionally, I mentioned if you're over the age of 60, you would be exempt from it. So, you know, some other exemptions as well. The state we have a 15% buffer, so each state can then administer another 15% to have an exemption as well. Just those sudden hardships that occur, you know, you fall and break your arm, you can't work, something like that. So there's an additional 15% exemption. But the idea is to give every American an opportunity to train to work. It's a great time to start a career. We have 50,000 open jobs across this great state. There's over 5 million open jobs across the country. It's not only a great time just to start a new job, but it's a great time to start a new career. And if we can help provide some of that training and fund that training, that sounds like a great plan.
One thing that surprised me a little bit when I was looking a little bit into SNAP, looking at this article from the Delta Farm Press, talking about the SNAP and a little bit about the Farm Bill, was I didn't realize that there was a decent amount of senior citizens who take advantage of the SNAP program.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course there is. And one thing I'm very proud of in the nutrition component of this is we make it easier for people, for senior citizens to have access to food assistance. I think it goes up to 200% of poverty level that elderly people can have access to this. What else I'm very proud of is that this farm bill almost quadruples that amount of money for food stamps. It makes it easier not only for the elderly to give access, but also our military personnel. It's a little embarrassing to me that we don't pay the military enough money that they wouldn't need food stamps, but we kind of changed some of the barriers that those people have.
You know, one thing that's really interesting to me about the whole food stamp thing, especially when you talk about food stamps in this sort of forum, when you're talking about the farm bill and those sort of things, it's always way different than sometimes you get on when it gets into campaign season. Food stamps are kind of used as kind of a campaign tool, boogeyman sort of thing. But when you talk about it in this sort of context, it always amazes me just how much support the SNAP program, just food stamps overall, have from the agricultural community and agricultural markets, which, again, it just, when you just think about it for a couple of seconds, it makes sense. This is a farmers are growing things, growing food for people to have and for it to be out there and sold and be out there in the marketplace. So that makes sense that there's that sort of support.
It is. If you're in agriculture, and this goes way back to our heritage, you know, working on my grandfather's farms, they truly enjoyed feeding people, whether it was a family meal on Sunday or providing wheat for U.S. aid going across the world. So I think it's in the heart of farmers as a doctor, I got to deliver babies. That was my passion. For farmers, feeding this country, feeding the world is their passion. This country is so blessed. The safest, most reliable, affordable food in the world is grown right here in Kansas. So you're right. It just connects the two different populations. One of my best friends on the House Ag Committee is from Philadelphia, an inner city type of congressman from a Democrat. And constantly we talk about how important it is to move food from the farms to the inner cities as well. So it's a great cooperation, something that's been going on for decades.
And again, just from an economic standpoint, it's better to have that grain out there and in the market than just piling up sitting on the ground, right?
Right. And I'm sure ready to go to break, but the quick story is we have some growers out in Goodland, Kansas who grow beans. I'm talking like pinto beans. And every year they ship over 40 million pounds of pinto beans to food banks across the country. Every day, a million Americans eat a serving of those beans grown out in Goodland, Kansas, connecting the farmers and producers to food banks across the country.
Amazing statistics when you dive into them, huh? Let's go ahead and take our second break of the hour. We'll come back and talk more with U.S. Congressman Roger Marshall live in studio here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
KMAN Morning News brought to you by Manhattan Appliance and Sleep Source, your appliance specialist, located in the West Loop Shopping Center.
At Sylvan Learning Center,